I want us to turn in our Bibles this morning to that passage of God's Word in 2 Samuel and the chapter number 5. That is 2 Samuel chapter 5, and we'll commence reading or continue reading in this passage of God's Word at verse number 17. That is 2 Samuel chapter 5, and we commence reading at verse number 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and all the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt be sure thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we confess today that without thee we can do absolutely nothing. We confess that we could not even create an anxious thought. But we thank thee for the working and the wooing of thy Holy Spirit. And I pray today that I might know a double portion of the Holy Ghost, that as I stand in this pulpit, that I might proclaim thy precious word without fear or favor. And that this day, Lord, that thou will bless thy word, bless it to thy people, encourage us in the battle for truth and righteousness. And, O God, for any today that are not saved, O God, may they see themselves as the Philistines were, the enemy of the Lord. And this day bring them in humility before thy footstool, and bring them savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us to meditate upon thy truth, for we pray in Jesus' precious name, and for his sake and glory. Amen. Now the story of David as the king of Israel is a stirring story. And although he was a mighty king, and he was a man after God's own heart, yet we realize that at best David was just a man. But he was raised up of God for that particular time. Just like indeed Esther, he came for the king, came to the kingdom for such a time as that. And now the spirituality of Israel at the time had fallen to its lowest ebb, and the law of God was no longer heeded. And as Judges reminded us, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The sad reality was there was a failure in the priesthood, as evidenced by the sons of Eli. There also was in the sons of the prophet Samuel. They had also turned away from God, and they were made judges. And yet they yielded to the spirit of the age rather than take their stand for God. In other words, the nation as a whole had rejected Jehovah as its sovereign. And of course we know that because they wanted a king of their own. And 1 Samuel chapter 8 tells us concerning that. And a king was chosen. His name was Saul. It seemed to be that for a period of time he reigned well, but we find that he lost his humility and forgot the Lord and turned away from the ways of the Lord, and therefore he became a worthless king, and God rejected him. And of course, it was as in the Psalms, the book of the Psalms, and Psalm number 12, it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful feel from among the children of men." Such was the day in which they were living. And yet, although God caused Israel to be chastised for their sin, and because of their waywardness, they had to be chastised, yet the wonderful thing is this, that God never abandoned them. God never gave them up. And of course, the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And as we look at the end of Saul's reign, we find that indeed he and his sons came to a very tragic end in 1 Samuel and the chapter 31. And the Philistines killed them. And of course, they gloried over the king of Israel. When we come to 2 Samuel, we find that David laments over the death of King Saul, and he lamented especially over his friend Jonathan. But of course, God had anointed him to be king. And therefore, my friend, whilst he lamented over Saul and his sons, yet he had to take up the responsibility that God had given him. He was now the king. And we find that the work of God must go on. And in 2 Samuel chapter 2, in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron." And we find that David went at God's direction in obedience to what God had to say, and he goes up to Hebron. And he became the king of Judah. Now, friend, let me tell you, that was not the fulfillment of the promise that was made. Because God promised him that he would become the king of Israel. But he was not the king of Israel here. He was the king of Judah. And, of course, we find that rather than the accepting him, the whole of Israel accepting David as king, there was a civil war amongst the Israel and Judah, and amongst David's men, and also those that did not follow after David. David had been made king over Judah. And surely you would think that David, my friend, is good to have an easy passage, but as we were singing, it's not an easy road. And David found that there wasn't an easy road. And for a period of years, he was the king of Judah, but was not accepted as the king of all Israel. Now, whenever we come to chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, we find that that changes. Because we find that David becomes the king of all Israel. Look at verse number 3, verse of chapter 5, verse 3. "So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and the anointed David king over Israel." Verse 5, "In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah." And so we find that now he is the king of all Israel. In other words, that's fulfillment of the promise that God had made to him. He was anointed by Samuel as the king, to be king in the place of Saul, to be the king of Israel. Now, of course, that he's made king, you would say to yourself, David has arrived. He has got what God had purposed for him and what God has planned for him. Surely it's going to be plain sailing. Surely that's the end of the trouble. He is now a mighty king in the land of Israel. But my friend, that was not true. Things were not plain sailings. But rather than that, we find that there was an enemy out there. When they heard the news of David being elevated to be king of Israel, that they were annoyed. And I want us to notice 4 simple things this morning in this passage of God's Word. First of all, I want you to notice the timing. The timing. Look at verse number 17. It says, "And when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David." Now, that was not to seek to bless him and help him. It was to seek to destroy him. Notice the timing. It says, when they heard that he was anointed king over all Israel. Here's the timing. What stirred them? What stirred them against David? Well, first of all, what stirred them was this, that there was unity among the people of God. On the one hand, there was for 7 years, he was king, or 7.5 years, he was king over Judah, but not over Israel. Remember the divided kingdom, Judah and Israel. And he was not the king over all Israel. But now we find, it says, he was the king. And so we find that this was a critical time. There had been years of continual civil war between Judah and Israel. But thank God that's over. The whole nation is united. And therefore Israel becomes a powerful nation because of their unity. Now the Bible tells us in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord, verse 3, commands the blessing, even life forevermore. And so we find that it's good and it's pleasant whenever brethren and when brethren and sisters dwell together in unity. And when there is a unity of purpose and unity of mind, friend, let me tell you, that is a mighty force for God. But where there's disunity, we find indeed that that's where the devil creeps in and does his evil and his serious work of dividing the people of God. And so we find whenever there was a unity among God's people, and Israel had become one, and David was the king, it was at that specific time, because the devil doesn't want to see God's people united. The devil will want to put us into factions, want to put us into little groups. The devil will try to destroy the unity among God's people, because the devil knows that it's when God's people dwell together in unity, it is good, it is pleasant, and God commands the blessing. In other words, there's blessing that follows the unified people of God. But then, of course, there was another problem. You see, the devil's crowd, the Philistines, not only knew there was unity among the people of God, but because of that, they were marching forward in victory, because from verse number 7 it says, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And because there was a unity among God's people, they were gaining the victory. They were marching forward. They took Jerusalem. And whenever the Philistines heard that they had taken this fort and they had taken Jerusalem and they had taken Zion, friend, the success of God's people, that stirred the enemy once again. And when God's people join together and they move forward in God's name, that'll stir the enemy. And you know, the amazing thing was this. Not only do we find that they move forward in blessing, but if go to verse number 11, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they builded David an house. And so the Philistines heard that the king of Tyre displayed friendship. In other words, there was peace. There was a peace amongst the people. Not only in Jerusalem, not only in Israel, but also outside. They were at peace with God's children. Now, of course, all of those ingredients stirred the enemy. That was the time the enemy thought to themselves, well, listen, it's time for us to stir ourselves. It's time for us to put an end to this unity. It's time for us to put an end to this progress. It's time for us to take away this peace. And so the Bible tells us, if you go to verse number 18, the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And so they assembled a great force against the child of God. Now, Rephaim was close. It was very close to Jerusalem. And so therefore, they were going to attack God's people. And that's what the devil does, and that's what the enemies of God do. Now, notice what David did, verse 19. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? He sought the Lord. And then verse 20 says that David came and he smote them there. So therefore, under God, friend, and under the direction of the Lord, David went forth and David smote them. And what he did after this was this. David gave the Lord the honor and the glory for the victory. And of course, that's important. Because David was not able to do this. He was only able to gain the victory because, look at verse 20, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. He acknowledged that this victory was of God. This was not his victory. It was the Lord's victory. Now, and your friend, let me tell you, in the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find the very same thing happen. In chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, the day of Pentecost was fully come. And we find that God's people dwelt together in unity, and we find that they started to go forward. And the Bible says the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Word of God tells us they continued steadfast, verse 46 of chapter 2, with one accord in the temple. Here they were of one accord. They were together, and then they were praising God, verse 47. They had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And whenever the work of God started to move forward, the God's people were united, and my friend, there was peace amongst the children of God, and even the people around them. The devil bestirred themselves. It's time for us to move. We have got to do something. God, we can't allow God's people to be together. We can't allow God's people to be united. We can't allow God's people to go forward. Friend, let me tell you this. Whenever God starts to bless his people, that bestirs the enemy. And then go to chapter 4. And my friend, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. Verse 3, and they laid hold on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now even tide. So the devil's going to stop it. The devil's going to stop the Lord's work. And friend, it's interesting, if you go on down that chapter, let's just go to verse 25. Whenever Peter and John were delivered out of this prison and they were delivered from these men, they went back to their own people. Verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company. And they reported all to the chief priests and elders, that all the chief priests and elders have said unto them. Look at verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. It's interesting. It was at that time that they quoted Psalm 2. Which was written by David after the victory over the Philistines. They went back to the Word of God, friend, and they encouraged themselves in the Lord. Here's those that are standing up against the Lord and his Christ. But they're rejoicing in this fact, and here's encouragement, friend. Listen, remember that all that the enemy may do, they'll finally fail, because the Word of God says he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The Lord's still on the throne. We're still on the victory side. And we too are engaged in a battle today. And friend, let me tell you, we are engaged against, and we are the targets of the devil, and the onslaught of hell will be against God's people. And if God's people get united, if God's people start to pray, if God's people start to progress and go on with God and enjoy the power of God, and might even there be a peace upon the people, let me tell you, the devil will bestir himself. Don't be surprised. The devil will want to stop it. The devil has got to stop it, because as far as he's concerned, that's the worst thing could ever happen. That God's people could progress, united together, and be at peace the one with the other. But it's an important fact that God was sought to know what to do. Verse 19, David inquired, when the devil's crowd came against him, he inquired of the Lord. Now let me tell you, I believe why he did that, because David had learned a lesson. David had learned a lesson some years before this. He didn't inquire of God, friend, and let me tell you, he nearly got himself into an unholy mess. He didn't ask God what to do. If you go back to chapter 27 of the 1 Samuel, you'll find that David came to a place in his life, Saul was after him, and David lost heart. Because he felt that Saul was closing in upon him and that soon he would die. Verse Chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, into the territory of the enemies of God. And David went into the enemy's territory, friend. And let me tell you this. He joined himself up with the Philistines, not seeking the face of God. He felt the situation was hopeless because he never asked of God. He never brought God. He says, I shall this day perish at the hand of Saul. Listen, God had promised him he'd be on the throne. He couldn't perish. God had anointed him to be king over Israel. Therefore, Saul was not going to kill. But David lost hope. And some people lose hope, friend. And where do they go to? They go to the world instead of going to God. And instead of David running to God and falling on his face before God and say, God, I feel the situation's hopeless. I feel the enemy's closing in upon me. I feel that life itself is going to be lost. God, tell me what I'm going to do. No, he says, I'm going to join myself to the Philistines. Saul will not follow me there. And his own wisdom took over instead of turning to God. And let me tell you, friend, it got him into an unholy mess. In actual fact, I'll tell you what happened. The Philistines went out in that last battle with Saul and Jonathan, whom David loved, his friend. And that last battle was taking place. And the Philistines were about to slay Jonathan and was about to slay Saul. Remember, David wouldn't touch Saul because he was the Lord's anointed as king over Israel. He wouldn't touch him. And now he is joined up with the enemy. And what's he about to do, friend? He's about to join up with the enemy to go out and fight the Lord's people. He says, I'm going with you to the king of the Philistines. I'm going with you to fight Saul. And they joined up to fight the king of Israel, and his friend Jonathan. He joined up with the Philistine, the enemies of God. You know, friend, you know how he was spared. The leaders of the Philistine says, listen to the king, Achish, you're not taking him. You're not taking him. And he had to go back. Friend, tell me, how do you think that David would have felt whenever he heard that Jonathan was dead? When he looked at the dead body of his friend and said, listen, I killed you, Jonathan. I killed you. I joined up with your enemy. I joined up with the enemies of God to kill you. And Jonathan's lying dead and he laments over Jonathan's death. He said that Saul and John, lovely they were in their lives, and in death they were not divided. And yet only God intervened through the enemy, sending him home. He would have been in the army that killed him. Friend, be careful of your company. Be careful who you join up with, because let me tell you, you could be slaying God's children. And that's exactly what David, listen, he never inquired of God, never asked God. No, friend, he did what he wanted to do because he thought the situation was hopeless. But thank God he's learned a lesson. If you go to chapter 30 just for a moment, in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, you find, yes, that David had learned a lesson because in actual fact, when he was sent back, he found that the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag. That's where David's family, his wives and family were, and also his friends' families were. It says in verse number 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. That's when David was away joining up with the Philistines. The Amalekites came in, and they burnt up Ziklag. That's where David lived. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of his people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, what did David do, friend? There's a change. Verse 7. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. Verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord. I need God. I need to get in touch with God. I need to seek the face of God. He hadn't sought the face of God, friend, and got himself in a mess. And so do you and I when we don't seek the face of God. We think we can make the decisions ourselves, friend. What a mess we get ourselves into. Now David has learned from his experience. Have you and I learned from him? Are we willing to learn from the experiences that God has brought us through? The Bible says in David, verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And the answer, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you'll recover all. He learned his lesson, friend. And now he's faced in chapter 5, back to chapter 5, 2 Samuel, he faces another situation. The enemy's there. Listen, it says in verse 18, the Philistines came and they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Let me tell you, friend, they were just all over the place. There was such a force, an enemy against them. And David recognized something. He needed God. He needed to get before God, friend. He needed to seek the face of God and ask God for his will. And friend, so do we. Now, I don't know what situation you may find yourself in this morning. I know my heart and you know yours before God, and God knows us all. But friend, where's the Lord in all of your plans? Have you brought God, have you sought the face of God honestly before him? Can you say, listen, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am in the center of God's will, because God's blessing is upon my soul. The refreshment of the Spirit of God is in my soul. I have sought the face and the will of God. He was not willing to go to the battle without knowing the mind of God, friend. And David records this. In Psalm 27, when thou says, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And I'll tell you why. Because David knew that the God who exhorted him to seek his face would not mock him. The God who exhorted him, commanded him to seek his face, would not mock him, but God would answer his prayer. And you see, what we're doing, friend, is this. When we're bringing God into our situation, we're acknowledging, friend, we haven't the power ourselves. That we haven't the answers. Now, I know that that's humbling. I know, friend, we like to think that we just are the answer to nearly everything. I want to tell you, we haven't got the answers of ourselves. We haven't the power of ourselves. We are in a battle. David is just on the throne, and no sooner has he got onto the throne, the devil attacks him. Don't be surprised at that. David was raised to the kingdom for such a time as this. The enemy was real. They had come against him. They were seeking to overthrow him. And we're in the midst of the battle. Sometimes we can get discouraged. Remember this. This is what God says in Job chapter 20, verse 5. The triumphing of the wicked is short. Oh, yes, they'll have their day. But it's a short day. It's a short day. And friend, let me tell you this. You've heard the old statement. There's a long road without a turning. That's true. It is. But there comes the turning. The triumphing of the wicked is short. And those who oppose the Lord and his people, yes, they will try to down them, will try to destroy them. And whenever things were progressing here in Israel, the people were at peace, they were in peace with their neighbors round about them, then the devil strikes. Let me tell you this. You and I are in a day of greatest danger in the days of blessing. Because we can get carried away in the days of blessing and think that somehow that we're untouchable. Do you remember Elijah? We preached on him. And Elijah, let me tell you, was on the top of Mount Carmel. He was in a day of blessing. Things were moving forward. The enemies of the Lord were being destroyed. The altars of Baal had been thrown down. God had consumed the altar and the sacrifice. Yes, but it was at that time, in the midst of that blessing, that you find that Elijah went into the wilderness, sat down under a juniper tree, depressed, and cried, God, let me die. Let me die. So be warned. In days of blessing, the devil will be after you. You're a target for the devil, friend. But be encouraged. Hallelujah. You're on the victory side. The devil is a defeated foe. And yes, his day is short. Praise God, one day it'll come to an end and be shut up in hell forevermore. For all eternity. There's the first thought, the timing. But notice something else. Notice the triumph. The triumph. You see, you need to be very careful that you don't get carried away with pride. It says there in verse 20, and David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. And he called the place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. I read a little statement this week. High altitudes are apt to make heads dizzy. High altitudes are apt to make heads dizzy. Friend, let me tell you this. David had been used as an instrument for God. It would have been so easy to have been carried away with pride. And we have got to be careful when God blesses us and when God uses us. We've got to realize it's not unto us, as the psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all the glory. The victory was the Lord's. And thank God David acknowledged that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 10 says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And friend, our strength is maintained in our conscious weakness. You remember Samson. Samson got up. He was lying on Delilah's lap. He got up and he shook himself and he went out as at other times. Listen, he thought that nothing could stop him. And he got up and he shook himself. And he didn't realize that his hair was left on Delilah's lap. The Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he got up as the other times and he went out. And he did not know that the Spirit was not with him. That God's Spirit was not upon him. Oh yes, every other time he'd gone out in the victory. Now he's going out in his own strength. But he lost the power due to his pride. And there spread in the valley of Rephaim, there's a large army, but there's now a large army of destruction. It says, David smote them there. But thank God, he gave God the honor. Notice he said, the Lord, verse 20, hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters, as a swollen river bursts its bank and it carries everything before it. That's what God did for him. But notice there was something still to do. Verse 21. And there they left their images. And David and his men burnt them. They had to fully obey the Lord. They had to get rid of the idols. But that's what God says in Deuteronomy 7:5. They had to obey. Is there an idol in our heart today? Listen. Is there something that's hindering the blessing in our lives? An idol that has not been yielded and given up and not been burnt? See, sadly, there had been time in Israel's life when they came and they got the idols of the enemy, and instead of burning them, friend, you know what happened? They started to worship them. But thank God, David acknowledges that this victory is of God and he's got a triumph here because he burns the idols and he gives God the honor and the glory. Very quickly, notice thirdly, the testing. Verse 22. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now I know it says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But friend, listen to me carefully. That's true. You and I can get victory in the hour of temptation, in the hour of battle. We can resist the devil and he flees. But let me tell you, that does not mean he not return. He may flee, but that does not mean he not return. How do I know? Well, if you read the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus went out into the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. Just turn to Matthew chapter 4. And Matthew chapter 4 in the verse number 11. And this is what it says. The Lord defeated the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. In verse number 11 it says, then the devil leaveth him. Matthew 4 verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, the angels came and ministered on. And you say to yourself, my, there's the devil. He's got to go. And hallelujah, he'll never be back. This is the Savior we're talking about. The devil leaveth him. But let's read the whole story. Turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Luke's Gospel chapter 4. And when you turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and you go to the story there, this is what it says in verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, listen, he departed from him for a season. For a season. Yes, he would come back. He'd come back. And David has this great victory, friend. And it's easy to have this temptation. The battle's over. The battle's finished. I've no more battles anymore. I can just lie back and can be at ease in Zion. Notice what it says in verse 21 of 2 Samuel 5. It says, or verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again. Yet again. And you and I are in a battle, friend, let me tell you, and the battle's not over until we breathe our last and God takes us home. We'll still have the Philistines against us. We'll still have the enemy to face. We'll still have battles to confront. We'll still have the powers of hell to struggle with, because he'll leave for a season, yes, but he'll be back. So be on the alert. Be warned. He'll come back. He comes yet again, friend. And notice what it says. And spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Yes, there's still a big army here. They spread themselves in the valley. And they come with a vengeance. But let that not discourage us, friend, because remember this. Fresh testings demand fresh strength. We can't live in victories of the past. There's a new battle. And fresh battles demand fresh strength. Now what does David do? Look at verse 23. And David inquired, or when David inquired of the Lord,
thank God he asked God again.
And David asked God, he's acknowledging, although he's had success in the first battle, he's facing another, he still needs the Lord. And just because you have a victory and so over some temptation, friend, and the devil comes back, don't you say, well, listen, hallelujah, I'll fight him. No, David inquired of God, and he says, God, tell me. And then notice something, friend. Notice this. The Lord said unto him, thou shalt not go up. No. Thou shalt not go up. But God says this, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. God says you're not to go up against them, you're to go around them. And you've got to go behind them. But you say to me, listen, hold on a wee second. Why would God change the strategy? Didn't the first battle, wasn't a success in the first strategy? So surely what he did the first time was good for the second one. The Lord had a different plan for him. God's strategy had changed. And remember this, God's plan's always the best. God, you and I need to be sensitive to the Lord's plans and to the Lord's direction and to the Lord's guidance. And God says, go behind them, make to the rear. This is interesting because, listen, here's the same enemy in the same valley. So what's the temptation? Do what you did the last time and gain the victory. But you see, victory in the battle that you and I are in, it needs step-by-step guidance of the Lord. Don't presume, friend, on God. Ask him. Don't presume on God's guidance or in the victory because of what happened in the past. You're facing a fresh battle. You need God's guidance. You need to trust and obey. And this is a test of David's obedience. And God says, listen, I want you to go around them. Now here was the Bible says they spread themselves, verse 20. They spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. In other words, there was a vast hope that were assembled, a host that was assembled against them. And to get to the rear, it took quite a march for David's men. But God says, do it. Do it. And come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And then God says this, and when you get there, wait. Wait. Lord, what's happening here? Wait. Why would I wait, Lord? God says, wait. As God said to the children of Israel way back in Exodus 14, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yes, there was a time to move. There's a time to wait. And David had to do what God said. God's directing. And then God says something else. Watch. Watch. Listen. What are they listening for? What are they watching for? Look at verse 24. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself for them. Shall the Lord go out before thee? Listen, friend. You either do it God's way and gain the victory, or do it your way and get into a mess. Now, this took patience. This took submission. They were to watch the mulberry trees. They're to come over against the mulberry trees, and then to hear the sound of the going and the tops. And the top of the mulberry trees, they were to watch what was happening in the top of the mulberry trees. And God said this, and when thou hearest the sound in the tops of the mulberry trees, the goings in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. And very quickly, the word going there, it says, when thou shalt hear the sound of a going in the mulberry trees. The word there means a marching army, a marching army. You're to listen. And when you hear the wind blowing, the wind of God blowing and stirring in the mulberry trees, as the sound of a marching army. Then you're to go. You're to go. Then thou shalt bestir thyself. Wait till the breath of God stirs the mulberry trees. And David was to respond to the stirring of God, friend. You see, there's a time to stand still. There's a time to move forward. What is this message doing, saying to us, friend? Listen, it's doing God's work God's way. That's what we're talking about here. Trust. Obey. There's no other way for you and I to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And when there's a stirring of God in the mulberry trees, God says, then, go forward. And as I finish today, surely that's what we need. We need the stirring of God. We need the moving of God in our midst. Because it's only then that God will give us the victory. Move with Him. Wait on Him. Listen for Him. Watch for Him. As it says in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same. And the last thought, the token. Verse 24, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the hosts of the Philistines. There's no use going out any other way. Then, God's time, God's work, God's way. Then, God promised the victory. And when we launch out in faith, listen, God is no man's debtor. Notice what it says in verse 25. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. And I can guarantee you, and my own heart today, I can guarantee my own heart, that when we do God's work, and we do it God's way, God will bless us. And if we're not willing to do it His way, we don't deserve any blessing. Do you remember how it started? That God's people were united together. And because of that, God gave them the victory. And they took Jerusalem. That became the capital of the United Kingdom. And even their enemy around them was at peace with him. Because God commanded the blessing. And when the devil's crowd came to destroy them, God gave them the victory. Come on. Let's go with God. Let's enjoy the blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts today. Oh God, I earnestly pray this morning in Mullaboy Hill that there might be, that we might hear the sound of the rustle in the mulberry tree. Oh, that our God today, that we might realize that thou art going forth as a mighty army. And oh God, that we're willing to follow after and be obedient. And thou hast promised the victory. Lord, today, if there are those that are not saved, show them they're not in the victory. And never can enjoy the victory of the child of God. Oh God, we pray that they'll turn away from sin and sin. Turn to the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen.